So we are going to wrap up Haftaras Matos today, Mirtzo Hashem. Remember that shir that we were going to complete on Sunday? So we're going to finish it today, and Mirtzo Hashem will spend the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on Haftaras Maaseh, which is going to be laid this coming Shabbos, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. So on the agenda for today is we're going to wrap up the discussion about the almond staff, the almond rod of Yirmiyahu was shown, and then there was a request to spend a little bit of time on the bubbling seer, the bubbling pot, that second vision that Yirmiyahu was shown, and then we'll just speak about the last couple of psukim, last three psukim, which extend into the next parak, but it ends the haftarah from last week. So let's first wrap up the discussion of the makel shaked, the almond rod. So we gave a couple of pshatim yesterday. We noted that it's connected to what story? The story of the almond rod. Right, the Mata of Aaron. It's interesting that this is the haftarah of what parsha? Matos. Right, so what does Matos mean? The Mata, right? So that also just puts that in our head, going back to the Mata of Aaron. And we noted, by the way, that again, that this is the Makel, it's not a Mata, which has slightly different implications, a little bit more violent implications of a rod as opposed to a staff. Staff helps me walk. Can point certain things out. A rod is hurts me a little bit more than that. So that is a part of the message here. This is a story of a rebuke. It's a rebuke against Klal Yisrael. Whom else might it be a rebuke against? To some degree. Besides Klal Yisrael, whom might Hashem be rebuking? Perhaps Yirmiyahu. To some degree, in some small way. And we'll get to that in a moment. Now, we gave a couple of pshatim of how it connects to Aaron. What does this have to do with Aaron? Aaron's Mata. So he said, first of all, it shows the story of Aaron was showing the chosenness of Aaron. That Aaron HaKohen is the person who's chosen to be the Kohen. That's the message of it. That it was a message to Korach, to his followers, to anybody who had a Havamina to be his follower. That's the message. And he's telling over here, Yirmiyahu, I have chosen you. Yirmiyahu HaKohen, I have chosen you for this mission. Don't think it was a mistake. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a typo. It wasn't a kamsa bar kamsa. It's you, Yirmiyahu. You're the man for the job. We set another level. Does anybody remember the other level that we suggested? Anybody who did chazar? Right, so we suggested further, right, that the staff also, the message is that the one that Hashem chooses will be vindicated at the end of the day. There might be people who come against him, who challenge him. But at the end of the day, Aaron and Moshe were proven to be righteous and correct the whole time. And that message is also being told to Yirmiyahu, because Yirmiyahu is very nervous. He is overwhelmed with this impossible task. Hashem says, don't worry, at the end of the day, one way or another, like the almond staff, that you will be vindicated. Perhaps in a way that you would hope not to be vindicated. But that's going to take place. Right? You thought... Right, you thought, oh no, this is not going to work. No, they're not going to believe me. It's not going to come true in my day, and people are going to mock me my whole life. No, there's going to be a makel shakeh. There's going to be an almond branch, an almond staff that's going to show everybody the truth, just like happened in the time of Aaron. However, this time it might be a makel. This time it's going to hurt. And what's going to be that thing that vindicates them if things don't work out? Meaning, in the worst case scenario, how will Yirmiyahu be vindicated?
The almond.
Right, but meaning practically, storyline-wise, in Jewish history, how will Yirmiyahu be proven to be he was right the whole time? The Korban. Korban Abayis, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the almond branch. That's the Makel saying, see? You should have listened to Yirmiyahu the whole time, Korban HaBayis. Not something Yirmiyahu wanted. But at the very least, the silver lining, if you can call it, is that he was vindicated. That we say, okay, he was now the MS. I want to suggest one level more, So that's two pshatim we suggested, and I want to suggest one third one. And I want to think if there's any other stories that this reminds us of. Hashem calling out Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu's initial response. Does this remind us of anything? Oh, Shireinu, excellent. Right, he says, Kinar Anochi, or Lo Ishtavarim Anochi. I'm not a man of words. Hashem, I know you're you know, God and creator of the universe and everything, but I think you made a mistake here. You got the wrong guy. Nar Anochi, Lo Ishtavarim Anochi. I'm not a man of words, or I'm a nar, I'm not the right person for the job. And Hashem insists, very much so. Now what happens? How do Chazal explain what happens in Parsha Shemos in the back and forth? You know, Moshe's being very humble, right? Anav mikol ha'adam. He's very humble. How does Hashem respond to that? How does Hashem feel about Moshe's initial and then consistent and persistent refusal to accept the mission? He shows him the signs. Before he even shows him the signs are about the mission itself. Before that, Hashem is angry. Right. Yeah. But he's upset with Moshe Rabbeinu. How does he punish him? There are two particular points. The Tras is for the Lashon Hara he spoke. About Klal Yisrael. There are two ways Hashem says, like ultimately, or he's going to say later on, you're not going to enter into Yisrael. But there's something he does before that. It says, "Vayichar af," Hashem was very angry, and then he says, "Don't worry, you're not going to be the speaker. Aaron Halevi is going to be the speaker. He's going to be the interpreter on your behalf." Do you know what Chazal say in Parsha Shemos? Quoted by Rashi on Aaron Halevi. Why is it called Aaron Halevi? Okay, so the Midrash, Exactly what Chazal say. Right? Chazal say, what? It's called Aaron Levi. Hashem, and also it says, Ve'ichar Av. Whenever Hashem's anger burns, there is a lasting impact. What's the lasting impact over here? Chazal say that at that point, that was the nail in the coffin of Moshe's kahuna. Moshe was going to be the Kohen Gadol, but because Moshe was, you know, refusing, so Hashem said, "Okay, that's it. Aaron Halevi, you're going to be Moshe Halevi, and he's going to be Aaron HaKohen. This is the last time we're going to call him Aaron Halevi, and he's going to be the one to get the kahuna, not you." And in Parsha Tetzava, Moshe's struggle with that, the mixed feelings and the joy for Aaron, but the sadness for himself of not being able to take part. Or not take part, but not to be the Kohen Gadol. So perhaps another thing we could suggest, another pshat, is that Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu over here. He's saying, "Take this, you Yirmiyahu, great, 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 great grandson of Aaron HaKohen, take a look at this staff, this almond rod, and that should make you think of your alter Zeda, your Saba Rabba Rabba." You should think about Aaron HaKohen when you see this. And make sure you be like Aaron HaKohen and not like your uncle Moshe Rabbeinu in this regard. Because Moshe Rabbeinu he was chosen for the mission, and then he lost that aspect of it. You, Yirmiyahu, do not be the same. And I think there are more connections. If you look carefully in the text, you see a few other parallels to this choice. But so it could be that's another layer. And again, all three of these are essentially Hashem trying to convince Yirmiyahu to take the position. He says, "Identify this staff, and that'll be the answers to all your questions." But people are going to think I'm a liar. Don't worry, like Aaron, you'll be vindicated. Oh, I don't know if I'm really properly chosen. No, you're chosen, just like Aaron. I'm giving you a demonstration that you're chosen. Oh, okay, but even so, I don't want to. I'm too humble. I'm too afraid. Don't be like Moshe Rabbeinu in this regard. Don't give up this mission. Be like Aaron. No, that's the second vision. This is all the rod. So that's in fact there are two visions. Hashem shows him two things, and I asks him to identify two things. And like, what's going on here? There's a pot. There's the rod. Well, the rod has nothing to do with Yirmiyahu's mission itself, but rather the acceptance of the mission. The rod has to do with Yirmiyahu. This rod is for you. It's a message to you. It's something for you to realize that this is your mission. And once we're, okay, are we over that? You signed your contract. You filled out your forms on Campminder. Thank you, Yirmiyahu. Now let's talk about the actual mission. See this next vision, the bubbling pot. Ah, Bavel. Okay, all right. So now we can discuss the bubbling pot just momentarily. This Sir Nafuach, this blowing pot, this bubbling pot. Malbim speaks with the symbolism a little bit. He says like it's the pot is like the protective force, the walls of Yerushalayim, and there's this like bubbling over of the walls that the Averis were too much. A little bit different from the Malbim. I didn't see it inside. I didn't read it carefully. But just something that I thought of when I was seeing the bubbling hot water. What else do we know of boiling hot water in the Torah? Amalek? Okay, right. There's that mashal about the large man jumping into the boiling hot. Okay, good. Where is water in the Torah that Chazal tell us is boiling hot? Parshas Noach, right? The Mabul. Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, Midrash Tanchuma, Midrash Rabbah, tell us that the water was boiling hot. So just the way I was just thinking about it, just the imagery that came to me, I don't know if this is pshat, but the boiling hot water, Chazal tells us it's because of boiling hot of Eros, that there's like this, the passion, the fire, the Yetzer Hara that causes it, like because it was like out of Teva, what the Averos that were done, so it was the water was taken out of its Teva, and it was boiling hot, not like normal rain. But when you have the imagery of a pot, because Hashem originally destroyed the entire world, essentially, with the Babel. And that was when the plan was for the entire world to equally connect to God, right? Originally, Hashem created a world where all of mankind connects to Him. And then, by the time it got to Avram, Hashem decided to limit it to one particular nation, family, to instruct the rest of the world in Avodas Hashem. So that nation is going to be contained in Eretz Yisrael. And if we go with the Malbim, that the pot is like the walls of Yerushalayim. So it's kind of like a more contained Mabul. It's a Mabul, but instead of a Mabul on the whole world, it's a Mabul on the heirs of the new world, which is Klal Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. So it's kind of this like contained Mabul of destruction in response to the boiling hot of Eros. That was a lot. Also, yeah. Right, so you could say, well, why did he say it? Like that's another one. Why did he say boiling water? Why not fire? In fact, didn't Nebuchadnezzar burn down Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, with fire? The answer is yes. So why would it be water? In fact, there are explicit psukim, and Chazal Darshan connected to fire. So why water? So could be, you can even suggest that. What's boiling water in halacha? What do we know about boiling water? Where is boiling water used? Hagala. To purify Kalim, to get out this disgusting bleus that don't belong. I love the Kli. The Kli is great. My mother bought this for me. I love this bowl. But it's filled with non-kosher bleus. It's a problem. So I want to keep the bowl, but I have to boil it out to get that filth out of it. So it could be that's Pshadas here as well. That, yeah, Lamaisa, so practically speaking, what's going to happen, right, if you watch the video afterwards, you're going to see fire, but you should know that it's a fire of boiling water. It's a fire of purification for the purpose of keeping Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael eventually. Okay, so that could be some of the symbolism in the pot. Does anybody know anything different? Did you ever learn anything more? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're saying that the pot has implications of a meal of a suda that they're going to have against us. It could be. We're going to see it. Okay. So into the next pasuk, we're going to start talking about food a little bit and about goyim eating us. We'll see. Okay. Yes. So thank you for bringing that. We'll see. So do you know who says that? Do you remember? Name Lois? Okay. So we can look that up. So now let's finish up the parak. No, we already did. Let's finish up the Haftarah. So the Haftarah goes into the next couple psukim. Three psukim. It says, "Vehi devar Hashem elai le'mor," and the word of Hashem came to me saying, "Haloch v'karasa ba'aznei Yerushalayim le'mor." Right. So speak to the ears of Yerushalayim, and then ko amar Hashem zacharti lachesed nurayich. You know the song? Very good. We also, it's in Rosh Hashanah davening as well. So we have this Hashem saying, Yirmiyahu saying, Hashem says, "I remember the chesed of your youth, right? I remember the love of your klulah shayach, these bridal nuptials, these crowns. Lechtech acharai b'midbar, you followed me in the midbar, be'eretz lo zeruah, in a place with an unfertile land, an unsown land. There was no plants there. You followed me into a desert. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tvuasa. Yisrael is Kodesh to Hashem. Reishis Tvuasa, it's the beginning of his grain. Ko Ochlov. Anybody who eats them, who devours them, Yeshamu Ra'a. Sorry, Yeshamu. They will be guilty. Ra'a Tavar Lehem Nuum Hashem. The evil will come upon them, Nuum Hashem, word of Hashem." That's how it ends. That's how the Haftarah ends. This is the beginning of the next parak. So made a little bit of a shift there, right? We're pretty negative, and then we end there. Why do we go into the next parak? Now, granted, the prakim are not divided by us. The prakim are divided by the Christians. So, if you see like a parak ends one place, but the aliyah is somewhere else, so the aliyah is more from us. The prakim, we use the system because it's very convenient, but it is worth asking why. I mean, clearly it's a new nevuah. It's a new, right? It starts off with a new introduction. Hashem spoke to me saying, so why is this included in the previous part? Yeah.
To show that still has this extreme love for us, and that's also why.
Okay, right. So let's take a look. Let's explore that. First of all, a very simple answer. It could be, ideally, the Gemara Megillah says that a Haftarah, ideally, is supposed to be 21 psukim. Right? Why? Because it's supposed to reflect, right, each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and on Shabbos, there are 7 aliyos. Because one of the explanations for Haftarah is that there's a time in our history where we were not allowed to do Kriyas HaTorah. So with threat of death. So they decreed that we read Nevi'im, meaning the Klal Yisrael, the Rabbanim, decreed that we read Nevi'im instead, but it had to be like a reflection of the Kriyas HaTorah. So in order to have 7 aliyos of 3 psukim each, they had 21 psukim. But Svardim, we'll note that Svardim, anybody who compares, Svardi Haftaras are often way shorter. There are different opinions to explain that. Sometimes it's like minimum 10 psukim. So it could be that the reason that we include these last two psukim, is to reach the 21 maximum, because there are only 18 psukim in Parak Aleph and then 3. So that's the most, it's a potential halakhic answer, but there's certainly more to it as well, yeah? Very good. So that's probably more, and it's also it really drives from this feeling more of what Hashem wants from us. We don't like ending off on a negative note. That was a pretty negative note, so we want to make sure we include that point. We ended off on a pot, a big suda that the goyim are going to eat at our expense. So then we want to qualify that with words of blessing at the end. That no kolach lav yashamu. Anybody who eats, devours Klal Yisrael will be destroyed. But even more than that, this is one of the messages we need for the 3 weeks, right? I mean, Hashem is calling us Kodesh. You see these lashon rachis. There are truma implications here. It's like Hashem is like the Kohen, and we're Kodesh to him. We're rachis, which is a lashon of certain gifts to the kohen, and anybody who eats them, like it's funny, lashon, like when the goyim eat us, but it'll yeshamu, they'll sit, it'll be guilty. They'll have to bring a karban, just like as if we're truma, which is important to note that Hashem considers us as truma. We are he is a kohen, and we are his special gift. And Hashem wants to end off this haftarah with this message to tell us, and Chazal guided us, that if we're in the 3 weeks, right, you don't read this on Tisha B'Av. Right now, it is not too late. Right? All of our averus that we did, it's not too late. How do we know? Because Hashem has a really good memory. Ko amar Hashem, Hashem says, Zachartil lachesin urayach, I remember, I still remember, I know who you are. I know you're making all this trouble. I know your sins are boiling up and you're a boiling pot of water about to overflow and about to be completely wiped out. I know that, says Hashem. I know you live in the year 2020 and I know there's a pandemic and it's been hard the last bunch of months to daven, and I know that you've been having a lot of challenges in many areas of avodas Hashem. I know what's on, you know, all what's on the screens. I know what's going on in secular culture. I know where you live. I know where you come from. But you know what, says Hashem? Come on, Hashem. Zachartil lachesin urayach. I remember what you used to be. I remember who you really are. And it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not Tisha B'Av yet. You're reading this haftarah, right? Like if you're reading this, you're too close, right? You are here. If you are reading this haftarah, that means it is not too late. We still have it. We still have a little over, like maybe it's around 2 weeks to Tisha B'Av. It's not too late to turn things around. Bez Hashem, we should be zocha to turn things around.